It's time to sit back, relax, and listen to Conversations with Joan. Conversations with Joan will inspire, motivate, and empower you. Live your best life now. Listen, learn, think, and decide. And now, here's your host, Joan Herman.
Welcome to Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life's Conversations with Joan. I'm Joan Herman. Thanks for tuning in. Conversations with Joan focuses on topics that are important to your life, from health and wellness to professional development to personal well-being. Changemakers join me to share their insights, tips, and strategies so you can thrive and live your best life now. Thank you for taking time for yourself, and thank you for letting us be a part of your life. Now, let's start talking. Have you ever wondered what your dreams mean and how they can shed light on your inner world? According to today's guest, Teresa Chung, you can decode their profound meanings and gain valuable insights into your waking life. She joins us today to talk about how you can learn to understand the messages hidden within your dreams. Teresa is an expert in dream analysis and author of the book, The Dream Dictionary from A to Z. Welcome, Teresa. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, welcome, Joan, and it is a dream to be here. Thank you very much.
So, Teresa, let's begin by talking a little bit about you. How did you get started doing this work, and why are you so interested in dreams?
Well, I think a lot of it is trying to understand my family. I was born into a family of traveling psychics and spiritualists. I was home educated. Mediumship demonstrations, dream decoding, astrology, tarot was the order of the day. I thought that was entirely normal. And then somehow, I don't know how it happened, the heavens were smiling on me. King's College, Cambridge University offered me a place to read theology and English because I had aspirations to become a female vicar at the time. I was very steeped in the Christian message. So I went to Cambridge, eager to share my passion for the invisible and unseen, to be met by a group of academics and skeptics who looked at me as if I had three eyes. And I soon learned to be quiet about my passion for that. And also dream work. Dream work was considered unscientific. So I waited until I'd left Cambridge. And when I was at Cambridge, I also studied all the world religions, fell in love with them all, and became what many people are these days, spiritual. And I guess because of my academic credentials, I had the privileged opportunity to write book after book in this area. My first standout moment was the Element Encyclopedias. And the book you mentioned, The Dream Dictionary, is actually a slimmed down version of that. When they first published it in 2005, it was the Element Encyclopedia of 20,000 dreams, and there were literally 20,000 in there. It was a doorstop. It was, you know, a Bible of a book. Because of the lockdowns, what happened is that people began to start going online and typing in to Google or their search engine, I had a weird dream. And for the first time ever in sleep and dream research, dreams were number one trending, and it was dubbed the lockdown dream phenomenon. And this was great for me because what happened is researchers wanted to understand why were people's dreams shouting at them during this very, very surreal time in the world. And they invested more funds in studying it, doing sleep and dream surveys. And I'm delighted to say that that research is still ongoing and I follow it very, very closely and try to incorporate in my latest books.
Teresa, what do you believe is the purpose of our dreams and why do you think people were Googling those terms?
The purpose of our dreams, first of all, is to remind us that we are more than our body and our mind. We are more than the material. Because think about it. When you fall asleep and dream, you enter this surreal, crazy world. Sometimes they're really coherent stories and symbols. You dream about people you've thought you'd forgotten about. You go to space. Infinite possibilities. And what I say to people who are sort of very skeptical about mind, body, soul and what I write about, I said, do you recall your dreams? What's going on there? What is that? And I'm again delighted to say research is showing dreams are not random firings of the brain. Dream researchers don't entirely know why we dream for sure. It's one of life's infinite mysteries, just like sleep. Researchers, I can tell you, don't know why we sleep, actually. There are lots of theories, but they haven't really cracked it. But one of the reasons we sleep, I believe, is we urgently need to dream and reconnect with our internal intuition and make creative connections that we simply couldn't in our waking life. Because in our waking life, the ego, our conscious mind, and all the logic and reason it brings with it squashes those gentle musings from our unconscious, our intuition. I mean, we've all had in our lives moments where I just knew and you don't know why. And that is what your dreaming mind is reminding you of: your inner power, your inner world, your inner space. We spend so much of our lives obsessing about outer space and what's going on in our lives. And as we should, we're here on this earth to learn and grow, and the material world provides lots of lessons. But by far, the greatest and most empowering journey. And if you speak to people in their 90s, as I've worked many years in a hospice, they will talk about their inner world, their relationship with themselves, their memories, their feelings, their emotions, who they believe they are, their self-awareness. And dreams are just reminding us all the time, look, hey, there's more to you than meets the eye. And that's something to get excited about.
Teresa, why can't we always remember our dreams? Like, for example, there might be weeks where I don't even think I'm dreaming. I am, but I don't remember them. And then there could be one week where every night I'll have a really vivid dream that felt like I was actually a part of it. Why does that happen to us?
Well, it happens to us all. And anyone listening thinking, I can't remember my dreams, please don't panic. You do dream. The inner work is going on. Your unconscious is working away to make creative connections for you. But you've just got into the habit of not remembering it. And typically that happens when our lives are very stressed and busy and the material external world has got quite dominant. And what poor dream record is saying, let's just shift a bit more balance. Can you please say, read a novel, listen to some classical music, do a couple of minutes meditation, walk in nature, stroke your pet, just be still and reflect on who you are from the inside out. And also just thinking about the possibility of dreaming during the day, as your listeners will right now. Where your attention goes, that's what shows up in the dream. Where your attention goes in the day is what shows up in the dream. So I'm sure many of your listeners will wake up with a dream on their mind because they've been forced in the day to stop and actually think about their dreams. Because most of us are conditioned to just dismiss them as nonsense. That famous movie line, it was just a dream. But we all know it's not, because if you look at the movies, every time a director wants to make a clear psychological point, he does a dream scenario, which shows you what the character's really feeling about themselves or their life. It's not just a dream. So that's why we often go through periods. Stress is the enemy of everything. Stress shuts down our intuition during the day as well. Studies have been shown that during the day, our intuition tends to speak through our body, actually our gut, our second brain, and our heart rate, sweaty palms, those kind of things. That's called the scientific term for that. And I know all about this because of my work with Dr. Mossbridge. It's called presentiment. And, you know, the US military has invested so much into presentiment and trying to help, you know, soldiers or whatever have a super sense in a way to pick up danger before it happens. But what I'm saying, it's still in its infancy, that research, and there's a long way to go. But what the studies are showing is that there is a clear correlation between heart rate fluctuations, butterflies in the stomach, and sensing the future. How they did it is they wired people up with all these, you know, sensor things, I don't know what they're called, forgive me, and they flashed a series of random images. Now, some of those images were really cute, like a puppy or a flower or a stream. And then every so often, there was a really shocking, disturbing image of something that made people shudder a bit. And what they found in the majority of cases, that people sensed when this image was going to come up through their body before it happened. And there were, you could say, well, that's random chance, but it wasn't, because it was a random number generator doing the images. There was no way they could predict what was coming next. So that's really exciting. So during the day, your intuition speaks through your body. Listen to your body wisdom, everyone, please. It knows before you do. It knows ahead of time. But in the night, you see, when you're asleep, your ego's asleep, your logic and reason has gone to sleep with your body, your intuition is unleashed. And that's when it comes into its own and it can talk to you in the only way it can. And this is a big stumbling block with dream interpretation, is it talks to you in a different language because it's a different state of consciousness. It's not waking reality. It's you're asleep, you're unconscious. They have a different language there. And the language is one of symbols and metaphors, just as if you were analyzing a poem or a work of art. And what happens at night is we all become night poets and night artists. Your dreaming mind is symbolizing your current mindset for you, using things from your day, symbols for aspects of your own mindset and what's happening in your waking life. Your role then is to start to decode those symbols personally. And that's where dream dictionaries, including my own, can be flawed, because what I give is the Jungian archetypal analysis, the generic, the common. I always use the example, if I dream of dogs, I wake up feeling very happy because it's a symbol of unconditional love and loyalty. But if someone is very frightened of dogs, they will wake up with a very, very different memory of that dream, more of dread. So first of all, go for your personal gut reaction to a dream symbol. If nothing yields, then look at the common, the universal, to kickstart that ability to think symbolically. And in ancient times, we all had that ability. Ancient humanity looked to symbols and metaphors to tell stories, to offer profound life wisdom to children. The elders would speak in riddles. That's just how the intuitive world speaks to us. And you need to sort of get over your block. If you hate that, if you hated poetry at school, you're thinking, oh, no. But honestly, it really is super easy. And it's also fun because you're dreaming about you, the most fascinating topic in the world. Your dreaming mind is constructing a narrative all about you. And anyone who says, this is nonsense, I'm going to dismiss it. So many great plots, movies, inventions, works of art, works of music, poetry have all been inspired throughout history from a vision in a dream. Einstein, for example, Oppenheimer sweeping the boards at the moment, you know, with the depiction of Einstein there. He relied on his dreams for the theory of relativity. He had these stunning images which were able to give him a leap forward that he couldn't do in the waking state because his logic was saying, that's impossible. But in the dream state, you see, you just suspend all that disbelief and you can go there. You can connect two things you would never normally do in your waking life.
Teresa, when we're in that dream state, do you believe that it opens us up to visitations from someone who may have passed away? I know after my father passed away, I dreamt of him. And to this day, I can recall every detail of that dream. It was so vivid, and I actually can still feel like I was a part of it. Do you believe that we can receive visitations while we're dreaming?
Absolutely. Afterlife signs, one of the most common is a dream, and there is research into this. It doesn't actually say, the research, that it is an afterlife visitation, but what it says, when people have these kind of dreams, it really helps them heal from the harrowing grief journey. And I think that's fantastic as well. And I tell you why it helps them heal, because it shows them that their departed loved one hasn't gone away completely. There's some aspect of them, their inner world, that is alive in the memories and dreams, and that death ends a life, not a relationship. I wholeheartedly believe that afterlife dreams are afterlife signs, and I have files of stories from people of all ages, stages, cultures, belief systems who have had these dreams and absolutely cherish them. They do wake up feeling like their loved one is still alive somewhere within them. And it gives them hope. And they start then to build an ongoing relationship in spirit. I mean, I guess that's my upbringing, because I was born into a family of spiritualists, which believes in a relationship in spirit, that people don't die, they just shed their bodily skin, and that the spirit goes on. It's entirely up to your listeners, or if anyone doesn't, if you don't want to buy into the afterlife or don't believe it, that's absolutely fine. But just know that there is research into afterlife dreams, and it's the most beautiful healing experience. I know, because I dreamt of my mother when she passed, and like you, she just sort of came into my room. It wasn't anything spectacular. It was the vivid realizing. And I remember she was just tidying the clothes on my chair in the dream. She didn't say anything, but it was her. And it was incredible waking up, having that memory. And like you, I go back to it time and time again.
It's the only dream that I've had in my entire life that I can remember so vividly, and I can actually, not just the dream, but I remember how, you know, he looked and felt and every detail of that dream. So I always thought it was something different, something very special.
I mean, people will argue it's just the grieving mind trying to offer you comfort. I've heard all the arguments, I truly have. But as I said, I see the impact on people's lives when it happens, and that's what matters most to me. And I see them with a light in their eyes after it's happened. They have formed a relationship in spirit with their departed loved ones. And that can be deeply meaningful, because life is tough, and sometimes we need memories like that. I actually recently reread, and I urge anyone listening to reread, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. And he has a beautiful image when he's at Auschwitz and being abused and, you know, like a skeleton, treated like an animal. He knows his wife has died. His family was slaughtered around him. And he's walking, I think he's digging or something, and seeing people put to the gas chambers. And then suddenly he sees an image in his mind's eye of his wife, and he feels her presence. And he says that pulled him through, even though he knew she was dead. The memory of that pulled him through. Again, what we're talking about here is inner world. Because in Viktor Frankl's Search for Meaning, A Man's Search for Meaning, he offers three ways we can find meaning in life. The first is work. A lot of us get our meaning from our work. The second is relationships. And the third is inner world. And what he urges at the end is focus on that inner world, because sadly, work can be taken away from you for whatever reason. Relationships come and go. But what you have is that relationship with yourself, that inner world which no one can touch. And that is your power. And that will give your life meaning and purpose, transforming any suffering into a lesson and to growth. Because I don't know why we're here on this planet, but I do believe it is to learn and grow. And our dreams are all helping us learn and grow, pointing out things in our waking life that we've been way too busy to notice. We block them or we deny them. But our dreaming mind knows these things are very, very important for our personal growth. So it resorts in the dream state to showing you these things and saying, pay attention, you need to notice this. Something about your mindset is a roadblock. Something someone said is a bit off. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you. Dreams, really, I call them in my latest book, I say, they are your best friend, your best and most honest friend, who is brutal with the truth. Sometimes it uses tough love. And to quote Stranger Things, dreams don't lie. They don't. They should give you an honest look at what's going on at an unconscious level. Why does that matter so much? Because what we unconsciously believe, if you are, you know, in tune with the manifesting mantra that's sweeping the world at the moment, what you unconsciously believe is what you attract. And that's where many people go wrong with manifesting. They focus on the externals. Oh, if I do this affirmation, I'm going to do this meditation, I'm going to do all these external things. But if at a deep level, dreams are messages from your deep, you don't truly believe you are worthy, that you deserve success, you aren't going to attract it in your waking life. And I think dream work is the one of the most neglected manifesting tools out there, because it shines the nightlight directly on what you need to know about your current mindset, what's going on unconsciously, what you need to know, what you need to change, what you need to let go of. Typically, there's a lot of old mindsets you need to let go of for your personal growth.
And Teresa, in our final moments, is there advice that you can offer to help us learn how to decipher those symbols or metaphors and connect them to what we're going through in our waking life so that we can really understand the messaging?
Yes. I mean, just choose. I suggest, because sometimes we get dream overcrowding when a dream is so busy that we don't know where to start. And I urge people that I work with to just give me three key symbols. They're at the top of the inbox for a reason. They stand out. And just go away and free associate. Think, what does this make me feel? What time in my life is it highlighting? What is it suggesting? Is it, and more, these three symbols will be offering you an opportunity to have a new perspective. Because a lot of problems in life are because we close our minds. We think we're right all the time. And we shut our minds down to new ideas, new perspectives, out-of-the-box ways of thinking. And your dreaming mind throws all that up in the air and says, come on, let's look at this brainstorm here. Let's go wild. Let's try a different approach. And you will know when you've interpreted right, because you will connect a symbol. For example, if you're riding a car in your dream and the car is heading off, if you're driving a car, and the car is heading off course, look at the direction of like your life is currently headed in, because vehicles in dreams are symbols, as they are in life, of going from A to B. If you're veering off course in your dream, it's saying, you know, you're losing sight of your goals. Also, pay attention to whether you're a passenger in the car or you're driving the car, because if you're a passenger, why on earth aren't you the captain of your own ship, driving your own car? So look at vehicles. A lot of us actually, I've found, increasingly dream of being in our cars a lot. And that is the dreaming mind using a classic symbol of where, what direction is your life heading? Are you feeling good about the direction?
The book is The Dream Dictionary from A to Z. If you'd like to learn more about Teresa and her work, you can visit teresachung.com. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Joan. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And sweet dreams, everyone. Never fear your dreams. They are your best friend. Sometimes they use shocking images, but I'll tell you why they use shocking images, because they know that you're going to remember them. They probably tried to reach you before with gentler images, and you've just woken up and gone about your day and forgotten them. Your dreaming mind is like someone who's been texting you for years every single night, and you've ignored it. Pay attention. Remember your dreams.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you found the show informative. At Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life, we believe that knowledge is power. Take what you've learned, apply it, and live your best life now. Remember that the information provided is the opinion of our guest and should never replace the advice of a professional who knows your personal situation. If you'd like more information, visit our website, CYL.com. That stands for Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. While on our site, listen to past shows on demand, read the digital magazine, sign up for our mailing list, and be sure to follow the show on social media. Until next time, this is Joan Herman. Thanks for tuning in.